Turning now to the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verse 15. Ruth, chapter 2, verse 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young man, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not." Part 2, response of sinners. Save sinners to grace. The response of save sinners to grace, part 2. The gospel according to Ruth. A young man preached a sermon from this book, and in his congregation was seated the great Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He asked Mr. Spurgeon after, "How was my sermon?" Spurgeon said to him, "Not good. There was no Christ in your sermon. Any sermon that you preach from the Old Testament where Christ is not seen is not a good sermon. Go back and come again." I hope that as Spurgeon listens to me, he would not say, "Not good." Because Christ is all over the book of Ruth. And if you don't see it, you haven't understood the book of Ruth. In our last study, we likened Ruth, the Moabite, response to the kindness of Boaz, to how saved sinners respond to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. We said that a believer responds with an attitude of a grateful heart. It cannot be hid. That attitude is expressed in heartfelt thanks, in worship, and in love. In our study today, we will discover another response to the grace of the Lord Jesus that many overlook. It is service. A sinner is saved to serve. Serve in various capacities, but invariably we will serve God. We concluded with a gracious invitation from Boaz to Ruth in verse 14. "And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, Come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers." Not in the back, beside. That's our standing with God. But Ruth did not only enjoy the comfort at the meal table. She did not only experience the company of Boaz and his reapers. The time came when she had to arise from the table and go into the fields to glean. Hard work. Verse 15 declares, "And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean among the sheaves and reproach her not. Leave her alone." What a great lesson for us to emulate. The redeemed sinner is not only called to sit at the feet of Jesus, learning his ways, cherishing his presence, partaking of his word. There are other essentials of the Christian faith. There are practical things that many of us are failing to do in the church. Gleaning, sharing, obeying, and doing the work of the ministry, Ephesians 4:12. He gave some prophets, some apostles, some evangelists and teachers for the perfecting or the completing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, until we come to a mature Christian. Ephesians 4:12. Most of the time in any given congregation, it is always a couple that does the work in the ministry. And some don't even ask. I appreciate some of you call and ask, how was it yesterday? You had water in your basement? I appreciate that. Yes, I did, by the way. Yes. Half of the day, me and Marcel was slaving, mopping up water. Leaves get into the drain pipe, and you know what that is? It runs into the basement. But I'm not going there this morning. Our message this morning is we respond to grace by serving. Now, you know, in these overall exposition messages, I take one feel. I open up some key observations to you with comments. Second, I also give you a sense of what is being said to us today in making a few applications. This is the way I go. I don't want to be accused by Mr. Spurgeon as preaching a bad sermon. First, I would like to show you the sufficiency of Ruth's provision. The sufficiency of Ruth's provision, verses 15 through 18. Verse 15 through 17, when she had risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean, even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. I'll read verse 18 later. And what a wonderful provision for this poor widow who was allowed to glean freely without reproach. The reapers were commanded to be liberal in dropping more gleanings for her. Wheat of barley. Ruth was able to gather an ephah of barley that day. Now, you know, in Jewish measurements, an ephah was a tenth of an omer, which is sufficient to suffice a whole family for about a week. It's deliberate, this text. When the children of Israel were gathering the manna in the wilderness in Exodus 16, verse 16, we are told, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it, every man according to his eating, and omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. Head of household will carry home sufficient manna for a large family. An ephah is about 22 liters. You can check this out. That can satisfy Naomi and Ruth, some say for 10 days. Obviously, she shared some of what she gleaned with her neighbors. She couldn't consume all of this. But this was a gracious provision. It's no wonder that Naomi wanted to know where Ruth worked. Where did you work today? What happened? Did your ship come in today? But the point we are making is that the Lord's provision is always sufficient. It is sufficient for the servant of God. It is sufficient for the hearer of the Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible, the gospel that I preach is sufficient. You don't need a band, a choir. Paul said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches
in glory by Christ Jesus. Many today move away from the gospel because it is not sufficient. Don't listen to them. Oh, he said this to me. He said, don't listen to them. It's the gospel that is not sufficient. It is offending them. Verse 18, and she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was satisfied or sufficed. Wow. This woman were looking out to provide for her mother-in-law. Now, I'm not suggesting that you guys work for your mother-in-law today. This is not what is being taught here. This is spiritual. The scripture says that she took it up and went into the city. I like this. Ruth by no means was a lazy young woman. She did not mind getting her hands dirty or her nails broken in carrying such a burden. And you should take note of this. Some of you don't even want to break your fingernails. She took it up and she carried it into the city. Went into the city. These words remind us of another Gentile woman in John chapter 4 after she met Jesus. When the Lord quenched the spiritual thirst of the woman of Samaria with living water, she left her water pot and went into the city and said to others, come see a man which told me all that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Today, the gospel is a burden to carry. It is still called a burden. We're talking about service. God's message is called the burden of the Lord. And servants of God carry this burden joyfully. Just as this woman picked up this 25 liters and went into the city, maybe about 5 or 6 miles, we go great distances with this burden. Many complain about the burden they carry. I did this and I did that, so therefore I can't do that. My friend, our point is that we are saved to serve joyfully. Others would not so much as lift a finger to enhance and encourage the ministry or the minister. It's not only sitting at the table and enjoying the corn and the wine, but sharing in the carrying of the load, the burden, like this young woman did. I hope you get the point of the message, Mr. Spurgeon. Carrying it to the lost, sharing it. Ruth walked into the city with 25 liters so that she and her mother-in-law and probably some of her neighbors can be sufficed. Not too many are willing in sharing the burden and carrying the bread of life to those in darkness. Not too many. Our text further states in verse 18 that Ruth's mother-in-law had reserved after she was sufficed. I'm sure that you are remembering the feeding of the 5,000 and what happened, aren't you? There was a surplus. What Ruth gleaned was more than sufficient. The Lord blessed that day for her. Yes, I know you're considering the feeding of the 5,000, when 12 baskets were gathered up. The same lesson is being taught.
the gospel is sufficient, brethren.
Same message, the Lord's provision is always sufficient. Sufficient for the hungry soul. But I'm sorry, I'm deeply sorry for those who are looking to be filled with the scraps of this world. Can't come to church, can't serve God, because they're seeking other things in life. So this is our first key observation. Mark it down, the sufficiency of Ruth's provision and what it means today. Second, the identity of the kinsman redeemer. Naomi, as I was saying, was caught by surprise with the abundance of food brought home by Ruth and the energy, which I would get to in my third point, and the energy she mustered to carry this load and ask a fair question in verse 19. And her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Or where did you work? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had worked, and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." I'm going to stop there for a minute. Where did you work today? And let me say something. If a young woman came home with 50 pounds of barley, any concerned parent or in-law or guardian would want to know where the source came from. You, if your daughter came home with some unusual thing, you would want to know where it came from, wouldn't you? You should be thankful for Ruth. Ruth came clean, and she was transparent. Moral lesson for some of us to pick up. Many seem to think that what they do and where they go in the Christian community or in this world is to be a well-guarded secret. Pastor ain't got no right asking you where you went, what you did. Not transparent, not accountable. You should pick up these moral truths in the Word of God. Some feel like that. It's a real garden secret. Never come clean, always bobbing and weaving. Sometimes you ask people about their time spent when they ran away, and you might be listening to me. But they just tell you part, oh, I went here, but they never tell you they went there. Never come clean. Not transparent. Crooked. Hiding. This lady came clean, learned from her transparency in verse 19, part B, and she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." At this point in time, Ruth had no inkling who Boaz was. She didn't know. Sure, she didn't come with motives. "The man who I work with, his name is Boaz." That's it. As far as she knew, Boaz was just another man. And this again proves that Ruth's motives were pure. She was not tipped off to work in the field of a rich man. It was Naomi who identified Boaz to Ruth. Listen to verse 20. "And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be thou of the Lord, who have not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near to kin unto us." He's a relative to us. He's one of our next or near kinsmen. In other words, he has qualified to be our redeemer. Wow. There it is. You do not pronounce a benediction on anyone less than a sovereign creator. Naomi said unto her, in the law, blessed be thou of the Lord, who have not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Naomi blesses him. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near to kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. The living in the context refers to Naomi and Ruth, left off his kindness from the living. The dead is speaking of the three husbands who died in Moab and forfeited their inheritance in the promised land. They've lost their inheritance. Ruth, as a Gentile woman, has no right to an inheritance among the Lord's people. She's a foreigner. And yet God took note of her, just like me and you. We have no right to heaven. None. God looked at Christ. That's who we look at. And had mercy on us. Today, the Lord's kindness is extended to the living and the dead. And by the way, if you are here and you are saved, you are the living. If you are here and not saved, you are dead. But God's kindness is available. God is merciful. Those who have no inheritance in the new heaven and the new earth are dead. Those who are yet dead in trespasses and sins can know the kindness of God. But though Ruth was able to identify Boaz by name in verse 19, the man who I work with, his name is Boaz, it took Naomi to say, the man is near to kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Naomi is not only a picture of Old Testament Israel, she's a great picture of the law of God. The law's purpose is to lead a person to Christ for redemption. This is the chemistry of this book. God used Naomi in a powerful way to teach a powerful message. Today, the identity of our Redeemer is made known. He is Jesus, the Savior, the Son of God. That's who he is. He's brought near every time the gospel is explained, brethren. So these are our first two observations. Sufficiency of Ruth's provision, what it represents. There's a lot more, but we only have an allotted time. The identity of the kinsman redeemer made known. Ruth knew his name, but she didn't know his worth. And some of you know Jesus' name, but you don't know him as Savior. Well, let me emphasize that. Last point, vitality of Ruth. Vitality of Ruth. Verses 21 through 23, which closes the exposition. I use the word vitality or energy. We already witnessed Ruth's vitality as she carried this weight of barley into the city. It took strength to do that. But we are told that she worked for the duration of the harvest. Notice what is said in her conversation with Naomi in verse 21. And Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. To keep fast is to stay close, to remain, to abide. to not drift, but to stay the course. That's what it means. Nowadays, you don't have people in the church like that. Today we are living in a day where the church is filled with drifters. Now, I'm not speaking about the singing group in the 60s, the drifters. But those who are now and then, I heard some were prayed for this morning. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. They don't stay the course. Our kinsman redeemer tells us, abide in me. For without me, you can do nothing. You read this all the time. Stay. Stay close. Don't neglect the assembling of yourselves. We're living in a day where the church is filled with drifters. Ruth the Moabite widow drew strength from the meal at the table with Boaz. She drew vitality from the fellowship enjoyed with the reapers and the comforting words of her kinsman redeemer to stay close. She drew strength. So is every child of God. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Ruth was given the vitality to continue in the field until they have ended the harvest. You know, the Lord says it's only those that will endure to the end that would be saved. That the love of many would grow cold. They would not endure. They don't have the stuff to endure. They're not at the meal table. They're not with the reapers. Thus their love grow cold. You need to pick up on these phrases quickly. Abide in me. Without me, you can do nothing. The kinsman called me. She called the kinsman redeemer. She calls it his harvest. Notice. She said that what he said to her, continue until they have ended all my harvest. He used a personal pronoun. This is my harvest. There were many fields and many harvests in Judah, but only one was profitable for Ruth. Brethren, there is a place in the New Testament where the harvest is identified as belonging to Christ. Therefore, he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Luke 10:2-3. Therefore, he said to them, it is great, the laborers. We hear this all the time, but it doesn't seem to move anybody. When we say the laborers are few, who God is going to raise up in here to send to Africa? Who? The man Boaz, brethren, had a natural physical harvest, yes. But there is a spiritual harvest today that belongs to the Lord that you don't even see. The harvest is right here. Today in Eastern culture, we see mostly women in the fields at harvest. Even in Southern Africa, you see, just like Ruth, laboring all day. In the field, they travel with their food and their water all day. You see them. You remember that lady calling that you took up her sides and put on the bonnet of the car and it fell off. She was carrying this sads to maybe her mother in the field. It's still practiced today to some degree. But I find today that many Christians are crybabies. They moan about every adversity. on my foot, on my back. No vitality in sharing the burden of the ministry. No vitality to stay the course. Ruth had vitality. Well, there's a few things I would like to show up in these last three verses quickly. In verses 21 through 23. Under the same heading. I want us to take note first of the condescension of Boaz. Verse 21, go back there. It says, Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me. Now just for Boaz to speak face to face with this Gentile woman is a wonder. Don't miss this. He said unto me. The man Boaz was not aloof. He was not standoffish. But he condescended. It was a gracious act on Boaz's part to speak to this woman. Later on, you're going to see what she did. Our Lord Jesus condescends to publicans and harlots. This is who Ruth represents, Boaz. He comes down to our level without sinning. You can reach across, but you shouldn't reach down. He was made like us, yet without sin. Always remember that our Lord is holy. For him to communicate with us, he must come down. Tonight we're going to look at Zacchaeus, who did the opposite. He went up to communicate with Jesus. Jesus said, look, come down. And some of us are too far above in our disposition. He condescended. Second, in his condescension, he gave an imperative to Ruth. Verse 21, B, Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me, you shall keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. This is an imperative. Stay close until the end of harvest. Cleave until the end, as we learn Tuesday night. The Lord Jesus said to his church, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. Well, this is very negative language. And you see people bunks in here and bunks in there, they're like a branch that is not abiding in the vine. The end is that they will be burnt. So this, the first thing we see is this great condescension of the man, Boaz, a wealthy man, a man of Judah. Who are you from Moab coming to talk to me? A kinsman. He owns an inheritance. Ruth have nothing but the clothes on her back. You should picture yourself in that way. The second thing we see is of utmost importance, and that is the wise counsel of Naomi. Don't forget this. Don't forget that she's a key player in this book. She didn't start out that way. And it only goes to show that God can use you. Verse 22, and Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in another field. This is wise counsel coming from Naomi. It is good that you don't go in any other field. Naomi has come around. She's undertaking the role of grooming this young widow in the things of God. It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet you not in any other field. Can you direct younger women to a church that preaches the gospel? Or do you misdirect them? Lead them there. Leave there. Go down to whatever. Can you do that? I wonder about some of us. I really do. In sending people to a place where there is either a gospel of works or a gospel of entertainment. This book is dripping with the gospel and instructions to Christians. I don't have the time. The wise counsel of Naomi. There's a place for mature Christian women in the congregation today. We ought to be grown enough to teach younger women. For the time you ought to be teachers. You need that one teach you again, which be the first principles, the oracles of God. And are become such as have need of milk, not strong meat. We can't even raise ladies to teach a Sunday school class. Everybody want a driver's license. There's a place for mature women in this church, as demonstrated by Naomi. She came around. She gave wise counsel this time around to her daughter-in-law. There's a ministry for women in the church. Paul said, age women likewise, that they be in behavior as become of holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, the gospel, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You ladies, I don't want to come to your home and see your laundry ball up in the living room on the couch, or the sink filled with dirty dishes from yesterday. Be chaste keepers of the home is a testimony. Or a bed isn't made up for 3 days? What kind of Christianity is that? Place for women in the church. And we must be taught. Naomi gave wise counsel. So we see condescension. We see the counsel of a wise woman. Third, we see the compliance of a new person, the compliance of Ruth, a Christian. Verse 23. I think that is how the story ends. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest. And of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. What a story. Now, I say this because wise counsel only profits the soul that complies. Some of you just would not listen. Ruth could have remembered the hard bargain Naomi drove when she was sending her back to Moab. She could have remembered that and said, you know, remember you was telling me to go back. And you know how some of us like to do that? Bring up the past and throw it at us. Not a semblance of bitterness. Not a sign of defiance. But compliance and obedience to wise counsel. Brethren, let us not miss these things. Let us not miss these things. Mr. Spurgeon, I hope you wouldn't say your sermon was bad. It's often hard to get some people to to listen to counsel. That they call themselves children of God. One of the birthmarks of God's children is obedience to counsel, to his will, not defiance, no matter who the counsel comes from. It doesn't work that way, brethren. It doesn't work that way. The quickest thing people can say is, you're being a judge. And I would say, no, yeah, I'm a judge, based on what the Bible says. No one is judging anyone. The Bible is clear. Why do you call me Lord and you're not doing the things I say? It's never what we say, by the way, but it is always what we are doing with what we are hearing. Compliance. So we have explored three observations under our main subject, how sinners respond to grace, part two. We will respond in service. The different elements of service, of course, but we will serve, invariably. In our exposition today, we saw the sufficiency of Boaz's provision. I explained that. Ruth's gleaning yielded sufficient for her and her mother-in-law, naturally, for a week. We showed what it typified. Second, we saw the identity of the kinsman redeemer made known to Ruth. He's one of us. He's near the king. He's able to redeem. You don't have to explain that. Third, we saw the vitality of Ruth. Energy to work until the end of harvest. Do you have energy? How does these truths square with you and with me today? And somebody needs to set this clock because I don't know what it is saying, so I can go on for the next half an hour. The pulpit clock is giving me the time in the night. So I don't have my peace, but I will wind down. How does these truths fit today with you and me in the church? What is your purpose or purpose for going to church? What is it? What are we gleaning from God's word when we come to church? Well, whatever you gather from God's word today is sufficient. There's no extra revelation to get. If I was to just read John 3:16 and close the book, that would be sufficient for your soul. You don't need no deep exposition of the book of Ruth. This is just by way of trying to explain God's word to us and what we ought to be doing. That's the role of a pastor. But what is your purpose? Or what are you gleaning? Half of what I say, you ain't going to remember. Remember what I said Tuesday night with 4 points on Hezekiah? What he did? How many of you remember? I told you I was coming back with that. I thought you was putting up your hand there. How many of you remember that? He removed. That's one. How many of you remember that? The purpose of preaching is to exhort, to encourage, to edify, to rebuke. But yet, we are not listening to preaching. But what are you gleaning? There's no extra revelation to be had. Is the gospel of Christ sufficient for you? Or are you looking for another gospel? Well, if you're looking for another gospel, you're coming to the wrong field. I want to tell you that right now. This is not the field to be traversing in. If you want a different gospel, Some would go. Because we don't have a band. Or we don't recognize you and call you to the front. Don't listen to the skeptics. The gospel is also sufficient for our sanctification. How to live in a pleasing manner to God. The gospel is sufficient. It's sufficient in its direction for our service. And as I said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the person of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Reason today, brethren, why many are not gleaning from God's word is because they have found themselves in a foreign field. One that does not belong to our kinsman redeemer. The Lord says, take heed what you hear. He didn't only say take heed that you hear, but he said take heed what you hear. Go into people's living room and you see, I don't even know any speakers. David Jeremiah, dreamer, T.D. Jakes, another dreamer, fraud. All of these people are in the wrong field. I hope you listen to me. Second, can you identify the Redeemer to others? Say what you may about Naomi. Ruth said, the man I work with today, his name is Boaz. She had been around him for a few days to know his name, but she needed Naomi to identify his worth and his value. Many today can rightly identify, and many will be identifying, the name Jesus. But not too many know his worth or his value. It's just a name to them. Naomi rightly said, the man is near to kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. The man Jesus is more than a man. He's one of us. He came to save us from our sins. You understand that? He's a redeemer, not of everybody. There were other fields in Judah. But Ruth could have only found redemption in Boaz's field. I ain't going to explain it. You have ears to hear, let him hear. Are you able to tell others who Jesus is? To tell them what he has done for you? What he can do for them? Are you doing that as you traverse this world? What are you doing with the crowd you're running with? I want to know. Phonies. A lot of phonies in the church. I think they're called to preach. Would not identify the glorious Savior. Paul was passing through the city of Athens. He saw many icons that were worshipped. He even saw one inscription to the unknown God. Paul says, this is the one I want to talk about. The one that you don't know. Jesus, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Judge. Paul identified Christ in the right way, with the right terms. What are you saying when you traverse this world, this sinful world. What are you saying? Are you engaging in politics? Who you like and who you don't like? Remember the woman of Samaria, come see a man that told me everything I did. Is this not the Christ? She identified him as a Samaritan woman. The Jews couldn't. They know his name. Jesus of Nazareth. They didn't know his worth. And be careful, you are in here. But you know the name of Jesus. But you have not experienced his worth. His worthiness. I want to be treated that way. If you and I have identified him in the scripture, these things should be of importance to you that I've shared this morning. We will respond to the sufficiency of the Lord's provision, a surplus of corn. We would know his identity by worth. He's one of us. The incarnation. We would have vitality as the servant Ruth had. He said to me, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended my harvest. The Christian life is not a sprint to heaven, Mark. It's not a sprint. The race is not for the swift, but for him that will endure to the end. We need vitality, strength that he gives us from his meal to run the race. We are given the same charge today. Stay close. Abide with me. Harvest time is swiftly approaching. The Lord of the harvest will gather his wheat in his garner, but the chaff will be blown away. It didn't say that Ruth carried home chaff. She carried home corn. We ought to give wise counsel. Last point of application. It is good that you do not go in other fields. This bouncing around from church to church is a sign of instability. A rolling stone gathers no moss, but is tossed with the wind. Stability. Any counsel that differs with the scripture is not godly counsel. Hypothetically, in closing, had Ruth failed to follow her mother-in-law's wise counsel, there would not, and this is only hypothetical, there would not have been an Obed. And go home and see who was these people. There would not have been a Jesse. There would not have been a David. And certainly there would not have been a Mary and Joseph and Christ. Obedience to counsel goes a very long way. Let's pray. We give you thanks for the word of God again. And oh Lord God, we pray that you will help us to understand the value and the worth of our Savior. It is he who has opened our eyes. It is he who has made the things of Christ known to us. It is he who saves us. We pray you will keep us by your power, Lord, and that you will help us in these dark days to be focused on our Lord and our Savior and our Redeemer. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.